9, I'm sorry, and we're reading verses 6 through to 15, and it's perhaps a familiar passage to many of you. If you can see those words up there, to some, it may be small, but we'll do what we can, okay? And I'll begin reading. If you'd like to read with me in unison, that would be great. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. You may be seated. I had a staff meeting at Cabela's. We had 292 of our staff gathered together for the Christmas so-called holiday kickoff. It was quite a rah-rah meeting this morning. And everybody was getting awards and all kinds of things and recognition. And so it was kind of fun. Had a nice big continental breakfast this morning and everything, and our general manager and all the managers got up front and they started recognizing outfitters and people that have been there for all these years. I got a little bit of an award this morning, and that was kind of an encouragement, but at the same time, it was just great to be part of the excitement, because the excitement is just starting to build because of the time of year. And we are anticipating on Black Friday that our sales goal will be $1.2 million on one day, with an approximate, I don't know how they figured this out, but 22,000 customers are expected to come through the doors on Black Friday. And I'm thankful I don't have to be there this year at 5 a.m., so that's what I'm happy about. I get to go later in the day to clean up the mess. So so it's the excitement is building. And, of course, next Sunday is Thanksgiving Sunday. It's the Sunday we celebrate Thanksgiving leading up to Thanksgiving on Thursday. It's coming right up. And then, believe it or not, First Advent Sunday is 2 weeks from today, and guess what? There's maybe 50 days, 45 shopping days left till Christmas, and then the year will be done with. We'll be into a brand new year, 2016. We don't even want to hear that word, do we? And some of us are not content with the fact that, summer is gone. It's almost gone. If we can get some snow, it would be gone. We are enjoying our time, and we're thankful to the Lord for His goodness. And this morning I want to talk to you about this whole idea leading up to the holiday season of gratitude and thanksgiving and what it is that happens when we are faithful to the Lord. I believe something great happens when we give. Something great happens when we're faithful to God. Something wonderful happens when God's people are in tune with God's Spirit to do God's will. That's my prayer for myself. I know I fall far short of doing what God wants me to do all the time. I fall far short of having the mind of Christ many times. I fall far short of living my Christian faith the way that really honors God many, many times. I fall flat on my face, but I do know that with God's help, with His strength, and with His blessing, that we're able to accomplish His will and do exceedingly abundantly more than what He asks or thinks. So this morning, I want us to look for a few moments in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 as we talk about what happens when we give. Because I think great things happen. I don't need to tell you all this because you know it anyway. But it's a reminder. We know that every Thanksgiving, we hear sermons we've always heard before. Oh, be thankful. Let's be thankful. Let's give thanks. Let's count our blessings, name them one by one, and we'll surprise you what the Lord has done. We'll hear all those things. It's a cliche that we shouldn't be just thankful on one day of the year. We should be thankful every single day of the year. But I think the gratitude and thanksgiving there is a connection between gratitude and generosity is something that's important for us to be reminded of again. Because it is something that leads us to be healthy as Christians. It is something that causes us to rejoice in knowing that God is at work. And as Henry Blackaby says in his study, Experiencing God, that when we see God at work, we are to join Him in that. And we are to discover it with Him, what He's doing and what He wants to do. I believe that God wants to do something great, something exciting, something overwhelming for this church, and He wants to bless this church in ways that He's never done it before. And so it helps us in our understanding of our health as individual Christians and in the health of the church to be people filled with gratitude and at the same time generosity. It's my understanding, it's my belief that it's hard to be thankful without being generous. It's hard to be thankful without being not just being a receiver, but a giver. And so this morning, I want us to think about this whole area of stewardship. The fact that we are called by God to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, when we talk about being a steward, we're talking about being a trustee, if you will. That we are to handle responsibly what God has entrusted to us. We are to handle responsibly, I believe, the environment around us. It really ticks me off when I see someone throw a candy bar wrapping out of their vehicle window right off to the side of the street. It really ticks me off to see people littering, things like that. That's not good. I believe that we are not to be tree huggers, but tree lovers, and we are to be people concerned about the environment. I think it's being taken a little too far in some areas by some of the environmentalists. But yet, we are to be responsible for what God has given us. We are to be good stewards of three important things as Christians. Our time, because we all have 24 hours a day. That's all the time you have. That's all the time I have. And we are to work within the perimeters of those 24 hours. And we are to be responsible for the time God has given us. not only our time, but our talents. The fact is that God has given every single one of us abilities, gifts, talents, if you will. Some people have the ability to sing and play the piano and look after sound equipment and do all kinds of things. And we are to be thankful for those talents, and we're to be thankful for the gifts that God has given us. Whether it is holding the hand of someone at a nursing home, or whether it's helping out at the local fire department, or using the gifts and abilities in the community in one way or the other, I think that's something that's important, and we are to be good stewards. We're to be good trustees of those talents. But the third thing, and sometimes as Christians we get a little bit blushy about it and red-faced about it, and we don't want to talk about it, is this whole idea of treasure. Time, talent, and treasure. God wants us to be responsible over our money, our finances. Now, some would say, I don't have much to be responsible over. Well, that may be the case. But the fact is that God has given us wonderful privilege of being able to earn a living or having income or one way or the other earning income, and he's called us to be responsible. And he's also called us to give. He's also called us to use a percentage of what we've received to do his work. And we call that the tithe. We call that giving proportionately to God's work and to the ministry of the gospel. Now, you were probably thinking he's going to get around to this eventually, and he's going to come at it in one way or the other. But, you know, don't worry, I'm not going to hit you over the head this morning too hard. But I do want to share three important truths, principles I think are important for us to remember. Knowing that great things happen when we give. That is a wonderful thing to know and to understand, is that great things happen when we give, whether it's our time, whether it's our talent, whether it's our treasure. I think we ought to be giving our time and tithing our time the same as we tithe our finances. We ought to be tithing our talents the same as we tithe our finances. And it all works together. And I think it's really interesting in how God has given us these principles in his word for us to understand and be able to have clarified. But three things. Number one is this. And you can think about this as money. You can think about it as talent. You can think about it as giving of your time. But number one is that cheerful giving is something that pleases God. Cheerful giving pleases God. If you want to give thanks to God, and if you want to see great things happen, number one is that the realization is that cheerful giving is something that pleases God. It overwhelms God. It, if I can use it in layman's terms, it tickles the heart of God. You ever hear that expression? Tickle my heart, or tickle me pink, or something like that. That's kind of, I don't know, weird. But I'm really getting weird here this morning. But it really pleases God. It really tickles God. I'd rather tickle God than tick him off. Myself, I'd rather tickle him than tick him. And so it pleases God when we give cheerfully to him. This is what Paul says in verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. Now, I know that many of you are cheerful givers. When you give, you love to give. When you give, there's just kind of a light that comes on. And that's just who you are. That's your DNA. That's who God has called you to be. That's what he's created you to do, is to be a cheerful giver. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you give and sometimes you're taken from? Well, there is that verse in the Bible that says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. But what does the next phrase say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some will say, well, you know, mostly the IRS taketh. And we giveth and they taketh. Mostly the tax man taketh. But there's something about a cheerful giving that's really exciting and really overwhelming. Paul says when it comes to giving, don't do it out of compulsion. Don't do it because it's in the rule book. Don't do it because it's your duty. Do it because you love to do it. Don't give reluctantly and don't fight the opportunity to give. I remember I've taken offerings and I've helped church. One church I helped in a fundraising program to add a piece onto their building. Involved in a building project once, and the chairman of the committee got up one morning and tried to spearhead it. And I said, "This is really going to go a long way because I know the kind of person he is." He said, "We would like you to give a little bit. We would, if you can, just, you know, if you could, give a little more, give some." And he was kind of timid. And then the chairman of the deacon's board get up. Heck, he said, we want you all to give. Everybody give. Let's all give. Let's do it together. And just two different demeanors, if you will, in giving. One was talking about it in a reluctant way. The other one, full steam ahead. And so it's important for us as Christians to realize that when God calls us to give cheerfully, we are to have a cheerful attitude. Because when we are giving to God, we are making God happy. If you want God to be happy, then he wants you to give. I think that's a simple, even a child can understand that. There are all kinds of verses in the scriptures that helps us, encourages us, examples of giving. Jesus himself, of course. That God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave. And, of course, Christmas is coming up. You know what I think is the best verse for Christmas? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that's giving, let me tell you. When God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that's setting the example. That's putting it where it should be. And so we're to give cheerfully. We're to give not out of compulsion, not out of a sense of duty, not out of a sense of rules and regulations, but cheerfully, exuberantly. You know, Christmas is coming up. And the greatest message of Christmas is that God gave. God gave his Son. And if God should give his Son, how much more should we give? And how much more should it be part of our nature to give, whatever that might be? And, you know, I think God has sort of filled in the blank, or he's given us a blank here. And he does talk about the tithe in the Old Testament and everything, but in the New Testament he talks about giving proportionately. And, I think I've always left it up to every believer to try to decide what that means for themselves. Not everybody is able, perhaps, to give a tenth of their income. It's just that may be a possibility. But I think there is enough biblical support. There is enough support for us to strive towards that. And to make that our goal, to give cheerfully and to give proportionately. I know people in the past that I've served and I have ministered to that have given, they've used the tithe as their foundational giving, as the very core of their giving, but they desire to give more than that. Their offering is above their tithe. And they give proportionately and cheerfully and not reluctantly. And so at Christmas time, we're going to be giving a lot of things to people. I'm seeing people in all the time buying things. When you work out in the retail world, you see things that kind of, you know, make your hair stand up on edge once in a while. You are really educated. I've been really educated in the things of this world because of what I've seen, what I've experienced through retail, and how people think, and how people react, and how they, you know, so many of them are so self-centered. So many people, all they want to do is receive, 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 without wanting to give and give and give. It's just an amazing thing to look upon in our world today. When we give cheerfully, you know, we're giving like God gives. So cheerful giving is something that pleases Him. The second thing I want you to be reminded of today is that big giving gives big results. If we want to please God, when we want to see great things happen when we give, we need to understand that big giving gets big results. And remember this in verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And so Paul is saying that little giving gets little results, big giving gets big results. Now, I'm not talking about some of these faith healers you see on TV. These preachers that get on the air and say, unless you give me $1 million, I'm going to die. Or unless you do this, then, the world is going to cave in. I'm not talking about that kind of giving. I'm not, people giving, putting, you know, preachers putting people on guilt trips to give. That's the last thing in the world that God wants us to do. I believe there's a principle here that we cannot outgive God. That's the principle. That we cannot outgive God no matter what. And the more we give to Him, the more He gives back to you and to me. And that is something that so many of you can testify to because you've experienced it in your own life. You've seen how God has worked, how God has blessed, how God has encouraged you because you have been faithful in giving to Him. You can't outgive God. No matter how hard you try, you'll never outgive God. Nothing can outgive God. And so that's an important principle for us. The Bible plainly teaches, and this passage specifically teaches, that when you give to God, He blesses you abundantly. Well, He blesses me even if I don't give. You know, He gives me the privilege of being on this planet, of breathing air. He blesses me regardless. He blesses me abundantly, especially when I give. When I give to Him, He gives back to me. But the return isn't always apples to apples, because a lot of people think that if, you know, I give God this much, then I should get this much back. That's just not how it works. That's not how it's supposed to work. You know, when we give financially, He may bless you with financial abundance, or He may choose to bless you in other ways. He may choose to bless you with good friends. He may choose to bless you with good health. I think those are all blessings, don't you? He may choose to bless you by living in a safe community where you don't have to worry about locking your doors at night. Well, maybe that's changing. But He chooses to bless us in many ways other than sometimes financial ways. And we don't always have to think about it in that way. I have something going on here, whatever this is. Maybe the Lord's trying to send me a message. I better... All right. I think you just said amen. Preach it, brother. So He blesses us. Big giving gets big results. The fact is, He'll meet our needs. Does anyone here this morning feel as though your basic needs have not been met for a while? My needs have been met. I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful for that verse in Philippians that says, my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches of His grace. I remember when I was back in college, I didn't have two pennies to rub together. And I may have shared this story before, I don't know, but I graduated from a Roman Catholic high school, and it was the best education I ever had, having a couple of nuns that were on my tail all the time, trying to keep me sharp and keep me going. If it wasn't for those nuns in that high school, I don't know where I'd be today, to be honest with you. And I remember going to college, this one nun in particular that I gave such a hard time to, and I would see her, she was the kind of a person that if she got upset, you could see the barometer rising, if you would. You could see the redness in her face just swell up, and all, you know, you could tell if she was upset. And believe me, many times I changed her color scheme. Many, many times. I gave her a very rough go of it because she was a math teacher. I hated math, and I didn't want to have anything to do with math because I loved history. I loved all the other subjects, but math, no way. And she, on my first year of college, I remember going to my mailbox one morning, and there was a check in the mailbox of $100 from this nun who probably didn't have much herself, who was living, you know, in real, didn't have much in terms of monetary income, but she sent me a check. I just broke down and wept, thinking, first of all, feeling guilty that I had given her such a hard time, but secondly, knowing that God just spoke to her in such a way to give to me, who was just such a rebel and a troublemaker and everything else. And that did something for me. That really did something to me. It taught me that God will supply all my needs, regardless. He'll supply all my needs because He has my best interests at heart. And He has your best interests at heart, too. He really does, because He wants to supply all your needs. So big giving gets big results. Great things happen when we give. Awesome things happen when we give. And the third and final thing is that generous giving is something that's contagious. It really is. I think it is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at what Paul says here in verses 12 to 14. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. I know that sounds like a lot, but Paul is saying that when you help others, you're creating a chain reaction that will spread the love of God. That's what happens when you give. Great things happen when we give. When you give, it causes a chain reaction. It's something that becomes contagious. It's something that is positive, something that's overwhelming, it's something that's beautiful, something that's awesome. It's something that God is glorified in. When you give, he's not only that you're doing the obvious, meeting your physical needs, but you're also building people up spiritually. You're encouraging someone by giving. Your giving to the Christmas Child program, outreach, is going to touch lives in other parts of the world. Did you know that? You're giving. You know, this little box right here. I don't know what's in there, but it's going to make some kids really happy. One child in a third world country that has never, ever had the privileges that you or I have had. You know, they don't have a satellite TV. And many of them don't even have running water. I've been there in Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador, where I see kids coming out on the street playing in the puddles that are infested by all kinds of bacteria. And that's what they have to live in. your giving, your faithfulness to God, is going to cause a chain reaction. Just think of Jack and Kathleen, who were here last week, and some of the great things that God has been able to use them in. They've gone around this state, and their attitude of generosity and giving has been infectious because it has touched lives wherever they've been. They've gone into schools. They've gone into the prison over in Windham, and they've been able to get some of the prisoners there involved. They've gone into many of the public high schools and have gotten kids involved in something that has the name of Christ in it, a Christmas children's package or whatever this is. Yeah, Christmas child, Operation Christmas Child. It has the word Christ in there, by the way. Oh, no, we're not supposed to use that. That's not politically correct because the name Christ is in that. We're supposed to stay away from that. So God's able to do great things in spite of ourselves, in spite of the world that we're in. And so when you're helping someone, you create a chain reaction that helps them connect with God. And that's really what it's all about. Helping people connect with God. Your generosity here in your giving, you know, I know we say, well, we got to keep the lights paid, and we got to keep the bills paid and everything else in this church by our giving when we take the offering on Sunday morning. Well, look at it this way. We are helping people connect with Christ. We are helping people connect with God. And ultimately, what we want to do is be able to help people connect with God from outside these walls so that we'll be able to share the love of Christ and go out and share the goodness of Christ, you know, all around us. So great things happen when we give. You know, we want people to connect with God, don't we? We want people to come to Jesus Christ. We want people to have a relationship with Him and to know Him and the power of forgiveness and the power and the blessing of eternal life. Now, you may be tempted to focus on the things you don't have. You may be tempted to focus on the problems that you have. You may be tempted to focus on all kinds of things, but I want to challenge you to attack it head on. Do you want to become truly thankful? Do you want to go from thanksgiving to thanks living? That's really what this season is about. Then become a cheerful giver. Give cheerfully. Give big. Give generously. Give contagiously. And God will take care of you. He'll take care of every detail in your life. He'll take care of every need that you have according to the riches of His grace. And I'll close with Paul's words in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. It says, "You will be made rich in every way. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for your promises. Thank you that something great happens when we give. And Lord, I know that I need to evaluate my heart many times to see if I'm the kind of giver you want me to be. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help me to be generous. Not just with my time and my talent, my treasure, but with everything. Lord, I want to be a good steward. And I want to take as many people as possible to heaven with me when I die. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do through the generosity of your people right here in this place today. Thank you for all your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.